Welcome to the Love Story Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Green, where we are capturing the magic of every love story.
This little paddle paws. Oh, I love his little feet. Okay, well, once again, we have another two-part love story because sometimes somebody's love story just is too good and too many good stories to stop at just 45 minutes. So if you are just now tuning in for the first time, go back and listen to the Vokes episode one, first half of their love story. What you're about to hear now is Frank and Lisa Voke part two of their love story.
As you're kind of going through life, when did you move in together?
After we got married.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so when did the proposal happen?
On Thanksgiving. So it was, I had kind of given up on the fact that he was ever going to ask me to marry him. I was like, yeah, he's not going to do it. So I just went and bought a house and just started my own.
Yeah.
Like, I had a career and I'm like, all right, I need a place to live. I bought a house.
Mm-hmm.
And that same year.
And are you still working for Herberger's at this time?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. And at that same year, he was telling me that he wanted to buy this land that his grandmother owned.
Okay. In St. Stephen?
In St. Stephen.
Okay.
And I said, well, do it. And he's like, well, I don't think I can. You know, it's a lot of money. And I'm like, just do it. You can mm-hmm. you can afford that. You should do that. Mm-hmm. So he did. Mm-hmm. So I bought the house that year. He bought his land that year.
Yep.
And then that was in 93. And then in 96.
Okay.
He asked me on Thanksgiving.
Okay.
We were supposed to be going to his aunt's house for Thanksgiving. And I was upstairs in my house getting ready. And I heard the back door open. I knew it was him. And then I heard like all this rustling happening downstairs. And I'm like, what is he doing down there? And I yelled down, you know, I'm almost ready. I'll be there in a minute. And when as I was coming down the stairs, the radio or the stereo turned on and a George Strait song was playing.
Okay.
I crossed my heart. And he met me at the bottom of the stairs
uh-huh.
and had me sit down on the couch and he knelt down and asked me to marry him.
Yeah. And you didn't see it coming at all?
I did not see it coming. He said he would never do anything like that on a holiday
I would never do it on a holiday because that's the wrong thing. It's supposed to be all by itself.
Uh-huh.
You never do it on a holiday or Valentine's Day or Christmas or nothing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it if I ever. Uh-huh. I'm going to do it on its own special day. So she never saw it coming. So
right,
I did it on a holiday just to throw her off.
Yeah. Right. You sound like just a treat to her. Okay. So what in your mind was the like, okay, now I know for sure. What was it? Was it just like Lisa just slowly chipped away at your defenses? Or was there like one thing that you were like, all right, she's the one? Or yes, okay, we'll legally bind ourselves together.
Yeah, I don't think I really had a lightning bolt mm-hmm. strike me and say, this is it. I just finally realized that she's great. And I can't
nobody
let this
else
one
compares.
Go.
Yeah. And she's stuck it out with you this whole time. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So how did the planning of the George Strait song and everything, was that just on the cuff or was
No, I had that planned for quite some time. I went and bought...
This is funny.
I didn't know. You know, how do you pick a ring? How do you know uh-huh. that they're going to like it?
Oh, that's not the one.
That's not it.
So,
okay.
I had no idea how much you're supposed to spend. And I still have this mindset that I'm a poor redneck.
Yeah.
So I can't afford much of a ring. So I'm looking at rings and the salesperson. I don't know if she suggested it or if it was me. I said, well, I can't make up my mind. How about I buy all three of them?
Oh.
And then I'll just take them to her and propose and she can choose. And then I'll bring back. I bought three engagement rings.
Okay.
And
if she says no, I've got two other shots with two other ladies. So
yeah,
but you didn't end up bringing all three of them because what you did was he bought all three of them.
Yeah.
And then he went and thought about it for a while.
Okay.
And then went back and picked the one.
Okay.
And she told him if she doesn't like it,
come back and change
it.
Oh,
yeah. I guess so. Yeah.
So when he gave it to
me, my story's a little different
said,
in my mind.
If you don't like it, we can exchange it.
Yeah, that's how it went. I'm sorry. I knew I bought three rings.
You bought three rings, though, that day.
And yes.
Then, yeah. Because they couldn't hold them unless you paid for them. So you did.
And was the one that he proposed with the one that you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you go back and look at the other ones?
No.
Didn't need to. I love this one. I don't need to even see what the other options are.
Exactly.
Okay, so go back and get your money back and
mm-hmm.
perfect.
Yep, worked out.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
I don't know, the rings all look the same to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, they were a little bit different, so I chose three. But
yeah.
You did good. For you know, the commitment issues thing is really starting to. I'm seeing you a pattern see it, here. Yeah.
Still to this day.
So you.
But how did you pick the George Strait song. Yes. I love George Strait.
And icon.
I Cross My Heart was just a perfect song for that. So I made, you know, got the CD, put it in the stereo, and waiting for it to come down the steps. Mm-hmm. Started at the right time, and I have.
You were all decked out.
Really nice cowboy outfit on, in my mind.
Yeah.
Long tail jacket. Mm-hmm. It's not a duster. What's the other one's called?
Bolero. It was short in the front with the long tails.
Okay.
And
for thanks. Yeah. And are you getting ready to go to a Thanksgiving mm-hmm. feast after? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I'm in a vest and beautiful black jeans or blue mm-hmm. jeans or something. My nice snake skins. And yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I did that and proposed to her, and then we went to my aunt's Thanksgiving celebration, and then we told everybody right then and there.
Did you tell anybody beforehand that you were going to propose, or was it like, wait?
Just... No, I don't think I spoke a word to anybody.
I don't think you did.
I don't
either.
Think so.
Okay. And are your parents at this point, are they like, when is Frank going to buy the cow?
Yeah. My exactly. dad called me one day, and not too long before this happened, and said, Lisa, you've heard the term shit or get off the pot, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said, Dad, you're talking to the wrong person.
Yeah. Yep. It's not me.
It's not
yeah.
me. So, yeah, he called my dad that morning after I said yes. He called my dad and talked to my dad and asked permission. And
uh-huh. And Dad was like, it's about time.
What my dad actually said to him, this was before we got married, sorry, yeah. Before we got married, I had flown out to Montana for my dad's birthday and asked him if he would walk me down the aisle and give me away. And he said, I'm not giving you to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting a long-term lease on my conditions.
Okay.
I was like, okay.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. A long-term lease on my conditions. Mm-hmm. So then did he tell you his conditions?
No, I don't think so.
No.
No, I think he kept them to himself. So after I proposed to her and she said yes, and I called out there, and yeah, can I talk to, I don't know who answered. Did your mom?
Probably my mom. My dad never answered the phone.
Yeah. Can I talk to Dan? Well, I've never asked to talk to Dan, so I'm sure he knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And I was probably so nervous, I don't remember what he said.
Yep. So. It worked out.
But he said yes, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he did.
So then how long till the wedding at this point?
6 months.
Okay, so you planned it.
And everybody said, well, aren't you going to have a nice long engagement? I said,
We've had the long engagement. Yes.
No, we're planning this wedding for the first available date in the spring, and we're getting married.
And well, yeah, she said, well, yeah, we could plan it right away. I said, well, this is going to take like a year. Uh-huh. No, it's not. I said, yeah, you can't find a place and set this all up in less than a year. Oh, that can't be. So we started looking,
mm-hmm.
and everything was booked, mm-hmm. and it was going to be a year unless we chose a Friday night. Most things were available on a Friday evening, so in order to get it done faster, we went with a Friday night mm-hmm. instead of the traditional Saturday afternoon mm-hmm. or Saturday morning and long, the big Stearns County Catholic wedding.
Yes.
So we went with a Friday night, and it was hot that day.
Okay. In spring, so this...
It was June 27th, 1997.
Mm-hmm. And it was about 97 degrees that day.
It was 97 degrees.
And about 90% humidity. Oof. Indoor wedding in a church that didn't have air conditioning.
Oh,
yeah, it wasn't air conditioned yet.
So just stuffy.
And about 400 people.
Oh!
Yeah.
150 was his side of the family.
Okay. I suppose one of 10. Yeah.
Cousins and things.
Aunts and uncles and cousins. I mean, we told the groomsmen, you can't seat bride's or groom side or the church will just tip.
Yeah.
Because hardly anybody, you know, I don't have a big family and some of them couldn't make it. So
just everybody pile in.
Yeah.
Traditionally, you would go to the woman's hometown, but there was a lot more people here.
Yep.
Than in Montana, and she had been here for quite some time.
Yeah.
So she had a lot of friends here, where in Montana you might have still had a couple of high school friends that you still associated with, and you know, six people from your family. Well, they can fly out.
Yeah.
So we did it in my hometown.
Okay.
And it was hot. Yeah, very hot.
And where was the reception?
At the Landing in St. Anna.
Okay.
Which was like a ballroom kind of.
Mm-hmm. And all 400 people go piling in over there, too. Yep.
Yeah, and they actually told us that was the biggest, fastest bar bill they've ever ran up.
Wow.
Because it was so hot.
Yeah.
And the minute people hit the reception, they went straight to the bar, and they were ordering two and three drinks at a
time. Two at a time. Yeah. It's so hot.
Yeah. Did you have open bar? Or was
we did. Yeah. Oh. It was crazy.
You didn't think it was going to end that
quick. Yeah.
We set a dollar limit. We hit that limit really fast, and so we raised it a little bit because we were like, okay, you know, we have to at least go an hour.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was crazy.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Partied all night. Highlights. What's the one thing that you remember from the night?
So a lot of things went wrong that day. All kinds of things.
Okay.
You know, my brother's dog died at 5:30 in the morning. I was racing across town to meet a vet at 5:30 in the morning on my wedding day with a dog that's dying.
In a torrential
rain.
How did you end up being the one taking the dog to the emergency vet on your wedding day?
None of my family was from here and didn't know where they were going.
Got it.
So he woke me up at 5 o'clock in the morning and said the dog's dying, and I called the vet. Because the dog had been sick the day before, and we called the vet that night. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so off I went. And then when I was getting my hair done, the stylist kept telling me I needed to stop crying because you're going to be all puffy at your wedding.
The dog died, or because you were... Because
the dog died. Yes, like, I was just devastated.
That feels like a bad omen.
It was a bad omen.
Yeah.
And you'll appreciate this. My brother did all the flowers for my wedding because he was a designer from California.
Okay.
And he had done all the flowers the night before, and everything was in the refrigerator out in the garage. And the only thing he left till the wedding day was my bouquet, so it'd be fresh. So then I was like, I don't have a bouquet. I'm not going to have a bouquet. So I called one of my good friends from Herberger's who was in the design and store merchandising and everything. And she said, don't worry about it. I will take care of it. I will be there as quick as I can. Mm-hmm. You will have a bouquet. Don't worry about
it. Because he waited so long.
When the dog died, he just lost it.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. Yeah.
I can't function. And so when I said, you know, hey, Marianne's coming to do my bouquet, he's like, what's wrong with your bouquet? I'm like, well, I don't have one. And he goes, I stayed up last night and finished it for you.
Oh.
It's in the cooler with the rest of them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay, great.
You know? Yeah.
And then, you know, we got out to the church for pictures, and my dad and my brother didn't fly in until the day of the wedding. Two brothers and my dad. Uh-huh. And they were late because they got lost because my brother didn't listen to me when I told him that I would send a driver. He said, I can find my way.
Okay.
Then my uncle was missing in action, and he was my godfather, so we couldn't take photos with him. You know, there was just all these. And then when it was time to start the wedding, my mom said, where's the video camera? You know, your brother's going to video the wedding. And I said, I left it at home. I forgot it. Don't worry about it. Uh-huh. Well, we can send somebody. I said, no, Mom, it's fine.
Yeah.
People got married all the time without a video of their wedding. It's fine. So the night after all of these things go wrong, you know, my aunt and uncle got lost on the way to the reception, all these things happened. We get into the limo at the end of the night to go to the hotel, and my good friend that was my matron of honor, you know, there was champagne in there for us and everything. Mm-hmm. And we toasted and said, what a day, like so many things could, you know, just didn't go the way we planned.
Yeah.
And I said, and there's one more I didn't tell you about. I forgot the video camera at home, so we didn't get and he said, I saw it at the house. I grabbed it. It was out in the parking lot in my truck. I forgot to bring it in.
Oh.
Have told him about it was there, but I just didn't want to tell him one more thing went wrong.
Yep.
So
you had it.
It was just this constant all day long. This went wrong. That went wrong. I was just like, oh, well.
Yeah, whatever. We're getting married.
One friend that was the one that said she'd do the flowers said to me when I was like falling apart that morning, only thing that needs to happen today is you and Frank need to get to the altar.
Yep.
Nothing else matters. Mm-hmm. Take a stack of sticky notes and put my phone number on it. And anytime somebody asks you something, just hand it to them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And don't answer any questions. Just get to the altar.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay. So a lot of people called Marianne that day.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the way you do it. Mm-hmm. The last person that you want to be bothering is the bride on her wedding, especially when there's a dead dog at the start of it. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you get married. You have this wonderful time.
We did have a really good time. It was a very fun wedding.
Oh, yeah.
And fun people. Dance. And we stayed till the end.
Of course.
Like, we just had a ball.
Yeah. Lots of country music.
And the 400 people invited, my family was huge, but then I got to invite my work family.
Of course.
Fire department. Yeah. All those guys, a lot of those guys were there. And I was also on a volunteer fire department in St. Stephen, so all those guys got invited. Then my hunting group, I got to invite those guys and my five best buddies. And yeah, it was an eclectic group of different people. And it was a blast, and everybody had a good time.
And all my friends from Herberger's, and then, you know, some high school friends. And yeah, and I even had one vendor that was from Minneapolis that drove up just for the wedding ceremony. They couldn't stay for the evening. And I said, I can't believe you came all the way up just for the ceremony. And she said, I've been hearing about this guy for 6 years. I wanted to actually see this happen.
Yep.
Yeah, I think a lot of people showed up because it was Friday at 5 o'clock. You know, a lot of people had to take off work, but I think they just wanted to make, they couldn't believe it was going to happen, and they wanted to make sure they saw it.
Yep. I won't believe it till I see it.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was, what, 20-something years ago?
Yeah, 28 years ago.
Okay. And so now what's the next 28 years look like from wedding day to now?
How much time we got?
Well, we're doing an we're breaking this in half, and we're doing two episodes. If you guys have time, we hit 45 minutes already. So the next 28 years, we've got the wedding day. Everything went well, as good as good as you could have hoped for.
Right.
You got married.
Yep.
Okay. And then?
Off to, well, the next morning was gift opening. Okay. That was traditionally, you did that.
Yeah, gift opening. So we're at our hotel. My whole family is staying at my house in St. Cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And we wake up gift opening morning. There's a huge storm coming into central Minnesota with tornado sirens and the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
So I called my family to say,
what else could go wrong?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Here's the deal. You guys aren't going to know what to do. If you hear this loud siren, you all need to go down into the crawl space in the basement of the house. And it is a steep stairs because I was like 104 year old house.
Of course. Right? Yes.
So anyway, we get over there that morning. No storms yet. The whole thing is set up outside in the garden and patio area of the house. And we are opening gifts like fast and furious and trying to get everybody in and out of there.
Okay, yeah.
And, on to the next and one. Sent my family off to get their flights out of Minneapolis and whatever. So then it was finally like, oh, okay, now it's kind of done.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like, how many storms can you put into one weekend of a wedding? But that, you got them all.
And then you still have a whole extra Sunday to just like decompress. Mm-hmm. You
and
did
we
everything.
Did. Yeah. Yeah, and we totally did. So yeah, and then we moved him from his little apartment above the bar at Howie's to my house in St. Cloud and started planning to build our house in St. Stephen where we live now.
On the property that you...
Yeah.
Perfect. And so what did you end up doing? You moved into your house, started planning to build, and then did you like just sell your house? Or
yeah, after we got the other house out in St. Stephen built, then we sold my house in town.
Are we going to talk about the honeymoon?
Where'd you go?
Yeah, we just went to Duluth.
Yeah. Oh,
that's where,
you know, that's a lot of people.
A lot of people just go to Duluth for the right away.
Yes.
And then we had planned we were going to go to Hawaii that coming winter.
That winter.
Went to Hawaii.
I had an aunt and uncle that had a timeshare out there at the time. They live there now. So we were going to go to Hawaii for a real honeymoon.
Yeah.
But we went to Duluth the next week or something.
Yeah, we went the next week. I went back. I went right back to work for like four or 5 days, and then we went up to Duluth for a long weekend for a honeymoon, and then
had a good time up
went
there.
To Hawaii.
Yeah,
that's all. That's all I want to say about it.
What did you do? What was the?
Didn't want to skip over the honeymoon.
Well, yeah, exactly. You went to Duluth. You got to go. Yeah. Okay. Highlight from the Duluth trip. So this would have been springtime in Duluth. So still cold.
Well, it was the beginning of July.
Oh, okay.
So it was nice.
Yeah.
And ironically, there was a country band there that we both liked that was playing down at one of the parks in Duluth. So we went there. We booked the honeymoon suite with the jacuzzi and the whole thing at this hotel. And after the first two nights, we were like, okay, this is dumb.
Yeah.
So we found a log cabin that was available up on the North Shore, and we stayed there for the next two nights. That was really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
a little more rustic, and which was more up our alley.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what we were going to plan.
Because that's what we were building as a log home.
So. Yeah. Okay, so that's what you have in St. Stephen now? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Most cookies out there are either too basic or too bougie, but Molly B's somehow nailed the balance. Bold, fun, and unforgettable cookies that actually taste as good as they sound. We're talking flavors like Bee Cordial with chocolate and cherry chunks, Big Joe with fresh ground coffee and a hint of rum, Boba Doodles with Snickerdoodle and Boba Pearls, and everybody's favorite train wreck, the Hot Mess, with mango, white chocolate,
and crushed hot Cheetos on top. I know, it sounds unhinged, but trust me, one bite and you'll be hooked. Molly's a single mom from Alaska who turned her kitchen experiments into a full-blown national sensation, featured on Food Network, Martha Stewart Living, and even at the Grammy Awards. These cookies are indulgent, surprising, and absolutely addictive. And because I've got the hookup, you get 10% off your order. Yes, the highest discount they offer when you use my code LOVESTORY at mollybees.com. Stock up for gifts, hoard them for yourself, or both. No judgment here. All right, let's talk vodka. Not the boring, flavorless kind you panic buy before a party, but something with actual personality. Norman's Shuck Vodka from Garden State Distillery. This stuff is distilled in small batches in Toms River, New Jersey, and it's infused with oysters, seaweed, and sea salt. Basically, the Jersey Shore in a glass, minus the spray tans. They call it a dirty martini in a bottle, and they're not wrong. It's got this subtle salty brine, a little ocean breeze vibe, and a smooth finish with just a hint of pepper. Honestly, it makes your Bloody Marys, oyster shooters, and even your basic vodka sodas taste like you know what you're doing. Oh, and seafood? Forget it. This vodka was born to sit next to a platter of oysters. And because I negotiated like the feisty podcast host I am, you get 15% off anything from Garden State Distillery. Yep, the highest discount out there, exclusively for my listeners. Just use code LOVESTORY at GardenStateDistillery.com. You're welcome.
So then, as you're kind of going through, you're building the house and all of that kind of stuff, was that, like, I mean, you've kind of done 6 years at that point together of all of the highs and the lows and the separations and the coming back mm-hmm. together. So now, not that you would not say that everything is smooth sailing, but you already kind of understand what disagreements are like with each other. Right. So building a house is just kind of a,
right,
just going through the motions.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How long? But they say that if you want to put your marriage to the test,
uh-huh,
try to build a house together and try to, be the general contractors. Yeah. So we did.
Uh-huh. We did.
That's okay. Exactly what we did. We decided we're going to general this thing ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's not just a regular old house that's cookie cutter house. We decided to build a custom handcrafted log home, which is a whole different ball game.
Yeah. Where do you even begin?
Right. You interview builders.
Okay.
He went to log home building school and realized, wow, this is
There's
a log home building school in northern Minnesota.
Yeah.
Okay.
And thought, wow, this is really cool. I'll build our house. And then he came back and said, okay, here's what I learned. That's really cool. I'm not building our house. That's okay. A lot of work. Yep. We're going to hire somebody. You have to hire. But, you know, it's interesting, too. So the year we were going to build the house, so I was a buyer at Herberger's.
Mm-hmm.
Frank was a firefighter. We're married now. We have a house in town. We've got land in St. Stephen. We've finalized our plans for our house. We hired the log builder. I'm pregnant.
Okay.
And Herberger's announces they're going to close the corporate office, and my job is going away.
And what year is this? This would have been
2000.
Okay. Okay.
I was like, oh, this is the worst timing in the entire world. Mm-hmm. And then after a little, like, thinking about it and talking about it, we realized, no, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a good place. We're going to be fine. We haven't, the only thing we've committed to is the log shell.
Okay.
All the finishing parts we hadn't contracted with a contractor to do, so we decided we'd do it ourselves.
Okay.
With the contractor. And I had mad, you know, spreadsheet skills.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
yep.
constantly adjusting the numbers. And it's like, okay, we went over on this. We have to cut something else yep. out. Okay, this is good. We're back on budget. And the bank said, nobody ever comes in on budget. And we did. And they were like shocked. But I was constantly
yeah.
moving things around. And it turned out good because, like, I was around with the baby all the time. So I could meet with contractors if mm-hmm. he was at work. And mm-hmm. we just kind of made it work. But it was a lot. One of our friends was a police officer at the time. And he had been through a lot of different trainings with, you know, severe situations. And he said, you guys are going through all of the big life things that cause major issues with people,
mm-hmm.
and you're doing them all in the same year. So be
yeah.
really aware of that and,
yeah.
you know, reach out if you need help. And we're like, no, we got this. It's all good. I think we were just too young to know any better.
Yep.
We just thought we were bulletproof.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So who is the baby? Introduce the baby to the podcast.
Oh, that was Morgan, yes. Our first child, Morgan uh-huh. Elizabeth.
Okay.
I was convinced we were going to have boys because I have all brothers and all boy mm-hmm. cousins, and that's what I know. And I'm like, I want mm-hmm. boys. This mm-hmm. is going to be easy. Nope. Girl.
And did you find out what you were having beforehand? Nope. Okay, nope. So you find out she's born and you're like, I kind of was thinking it was going to be a boy.
Totally was.
Okay.
Had boy names picked out.
Yep.
No girl names.
Yeah, we had no girl
names. She was baby Volk.
Okay.
For a couple days.
Okay.
While we contemplated what her name should be. But yeah.
And I said, she has dark hair like a Morgan mare.
Which was the horses at the ranch in Montana.
Okay.
So her name is Morgan.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So when she was born, was that, did everything just kind of, like, you became parents and just fell into that phase, or did it take a little bit of adjusting?
Oh, no, it took some adjusting.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I now didn't have my job, right?
Yep.
And that was kind of my identity. But also, all the women that I would have considered my support staff had moved away because Herberger's closed their corporate office.
Yep.
And they all had to go somewhere else and get jobs.
Yep.
So all those people that would have been my go-to people, mm-hmm. I could call them, but they weren't physically here.
Yeah.
It was weird because I didn't have just a regular, I had 16 hours of labor and then an emergency C-section.
Oh, wow.
So it was a long process. Yeah. When I came home from the hospital, I was in no condition mm-hmm. to care for myself, let alone a baby. We called the hospital the first night we brought her home in the middle of the night. I was just bawling.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't sleeping. She was just up constantly. And mm-hmm. I said, when we were in the hospital, she slept for like 4 hours at a time.
Yeah.
And the nurse said, no, she didn't. We just kept her content for 4 hours so you could rest while you were here.
Yeah.
You
what
know?
Happened? She's broken. Yeah. No, she's broken the same baby.
Where's the owner's manual?
Because there isn't
this
one.
Is hard.
This was fun. I would like for you mm-hmm. to take her back. And okay.
And I was never one that was like, oh my God, I need to be a mom. That was not me.
Yeah.
I didn't babysit. I mm-hmm. you know, I was a career person. Mm-hmm. And then I had this little adorable thing that I was like, what do I do with you?
Yeah. And I thought you were going to be, I know boys and you're a girl.
And you're a girl.
Yeah.
But you know what?
You say that you weren't never was high on your list to be a mother, but we planned.
Totally.
Yeah.
We planned it. We knew exactly what we were
married
doing.
For a while. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, maybe now is the time.
Yeah.
It's never the right time.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I found out that 35 is considered geriatric pregnancy. Uh-huh. That made me feel really good.
Yeah. You're like, I'm young, hot, you know, 30 something, and they're like, you're an old lady. Yeah.
When they use the word geriatric, I was like, excuse me?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Can I pull your medical license?
Because right.
Shame on you.
And you know, you think, okay, so here I was expecting this baby. I had all these plans. Like, I knew exactly what was going to happen with my career. And then it changed.
Yep.
And again, divine intervention. Like, that was the best thing that could have happened at that time because it allowed me to spend the time that we needed to build the house that we wanted to build
mm-hmm.
in a manner that we could afford to do it. And I got to spend 8 months with Morgan
mm-hmm.
before I went back to work.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just really solidified, oh, yeah, I do want to be a mom. Like, this is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I just loved her.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to have just one, you know, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mentioned earlier that I'm the oldest of 10.
Yeah.
But I was very proud of the fact that I never changed a diaper.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I said, that's your kid. That's not my kid.
Mine. Yeah.
I didn't tell you to have another kid. I'm not changing that kid's diaper. You know, just, no way.
Yep.
And so the first diaper I ever changed was Morgan, and I'm 35 years old.
Yeah.
And so I learned something, but I tell this, I get all emotional. I tell everybody now that I know that when they're little, read to them and hold them because in 25 years goes by and you wish you could hold them.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So being a father was the greatest thing in my life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We totally just embraced being parents and I literally just put everything else on hold. Like it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Nothing mattered more than family did.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
At the time when they were little and I had to read to them every night. Well, them. We didn't even talk about the second one, but you know, they're little and we hold them in your lap and you're reading to them and it's the same old Lily's purple plastic purse every night. And, oh my God. And I think that stupid dinosaur, the purple dinosaur, what the heck is it?
Barney?
Barney. Yeah. Oh God, Barney. Barney videos. Anyway, when is this going to end? Yeah. When are they going to grow up? I don't want to do this. I'm so tired.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you wish you could do it.
Yeah.
Pretty soon they're too big to hold in your lap.
That's the trap of growing up and whatever, it's you just wish the years away, and then when you get to a place, it's just like there's no such thing as like on to the next thing. It's just, yeah, there was a last time that I picked up my son, and now he's thrown me over his shoulder and towed me around this big 19-year-old lug. So it's just, yeah, you know, you do just kind of, and I think that's the hard part, is to sit back and look and go, I could have read the book a little happier that one time, or I wish I, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you did, I try not to focus on the bad mom moments. I just kind of go,
everybody has them.
Everybody has them.
Yeah.
You know, but just being, I mean, we made it a priority to be around the table at dinner time as a family. Mm-hmm. We did all kinds of things. When he was working at the fire station, he worked 24-hour shifts.
Yeah.
So 3 days a week, I was a single mom.
Yep.
You know, and there were times, it seemed like they always had their like worst days on the days when Frank was
at the farm.
Those days when Frank was gone. And then he'd come home in the morning and the back door would open and then it'd be like, run to the door, Daddy's home, Daddy's home. Forget about Mom. She's the one that has to enforce all the rules.
Just war-torn and bloody and sweaty. And and they're just like, oh, yay.
Daddy's
all right, home. Yeah, what hero. Have I been doing here?
Yeah.
So how long after Morgan before the next one comes along?
So 2 years.
Okay.
So they're 23 months apart.
Okay.
And the next one was another girl, Lauren Grace. And so when, this is funny, when Morgan was born, we called all of our family from the hospital to let them know that the baby was born. We named her Morgan Elizabeth. And he called his grandmother, who we bought the land from, right? Grandma said, oh, well, Elizabeth is a nice name. And he goes, Grandma doesn't like the name. And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, well, she'll have to get used to it. It'll be fine.
Uh-huh.
And then the next day, his aunt and uncle called us to find out what we named the baby, Morgan Elizabeth. And they bust out laughing, and we're like, well, now what? Well, Grandma told them they had a girl. And they named her, it's kind of a weird name, but we'll just have to get used to it. They named her Gordon Elizabeth.
Oh, Gordon.
Gordon,
yeah. Oh, no.
So one of Frank's sisters nicknamed her Gordy, and to this day,
I love it.
She's Gordy.
I love it.
And then when Lauren came along, I said, no boy names. Like, no boy names.
Yeah, so, we've got Gordy over here.
So Allison brings Gordy up to the hospital to meet her little sister, and Lauren goes, hi, Larry.
Oh, no.
I just looked at Allison. She goes, we're just kidding. We're not going to call her Larry. So yeah, we had Gordy, and then actually Lauren ended up being Gracie. So we had Gordy and Gracie.
Gordy and Gracie. That's so cute. That's a children's book waiting to happen.
Uh-huh.
Oh, cute. I love nickname lore is some of my favorite things. How does one become a Gordy? Well, let me tell you. Grandma thought.
Gordon. Grandma misunderstood.
Gordon. Yep. Elizabeth.
Gordon. That's funny. Okay, so now you've got Lauren. And are they buddies? Do they get along really well? Are they typical sisters?
They got along really well at first, obviously, because one was a baby and couldn't really. But as Lauren hit about 2 years old, you know, they talk about the terrible twos.
Yep.
So Lauren's terrible twos lasted for like 2 years. And she was so strong-willed. And I kept telling Morgan, you need to be nice to your little sister because, you know, she might get bigger than you someday.
Yeah.
And one day Morgan took a toy away from her and Lauren picked up the nearest toy and hit her over the head with it. And I was like, that's what I'm talking about right there. That's the thing.
Yep.
But, you know, they went through normal stages where they were the best of friends and then they were fighting and then they were the best of friends. They are now 23 and 25. They ended up both going to the same college.
And are they out in?
They went to school in Moorhead.
Okay.
Morgan graduated in 2022 and Lauren graduated in 2024 from Moorhead. And they now live together. They're roommates up in, and they live in Fargo.
Okay. So. Did they end up, which one ended up on TV?
Morgan.
Okay. Okay.
So Morgan moved, after she graduated from college, she moved out to Montana for a year, lived at the ranch with my mom, and worked at the college that I graduated from out there. And right, like, the week after she physically moved there, they were doing casting calls for extras for the Yellowstone sequel, 1923, a prequel, 1923. And she got cast as a woman on the street. So she actually in,
Mr.
she walked
Ford.
By Harrison Ford. She would call us and say, I was so close I could have touched him, but we're not allowed to talk to them. They're not our coworkers.
Yes, we're not buddies.
Yeah, and then one day he dropped his water bottle, and she said, I would have picked it up, but I was afraid the dress I was wearing would split.
Yeah, you don't want to split your corset in front of Mr. Ford.
Her husband, which was some old guy that she was walking down the street with, picked it up and handed it back to him or whatever. Oh, but
stole her thunder.
Yeah, she was. It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. So we've both been on airplanes where 1923 is airing. On and if you watch it, I can go right to the time. I'm like, oh, there she is right there
along the street. Yep.
You got to look really fast.
Yeah, really fast.
And you got to know what she's wearing.
And you got to know what she's wearing because you can't see her face at all.
Yeah,
you
can't see her face. There she is. Oh, there she's gone. Yep. Okay, and that was it. Her 15 seconds of fame.
Yeah.
Not even.
So now they're living together in Fargo?
In Fargo.
Okay. Yep. Wow. That's, but, you know, I mean, why not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It worked out great for the two of them. I didn't think they'd ever go to the same college. I didn't anticipate them being roommates again. Mm-hmm. And when they said they were going to do it, I said, you know, is that going to work out for you guys? You think you can get along? And they said, yeah, it'll be, you know, just like when we were kids, if we have a fight, we'll just tell each other what we think, get over it and move on. And they said, plus we know exactly what we're getting in a roommate.
Yes.
You know, there's no surprises when you live with your sister. So it's like, okay.
So what are their plans out in Fargo? What are they going to be off to?
Lauren works as a nurse for Sanford Hospital, and Morgan works in as an admissions rep for Concordia College.
Okay. So as they're off kind of developing their life and they're off together, I mean, that's got to just be like, I know when my daughter would go over the last couple of months, whatever, before she officially got her license, my son would take her to school in the morning on chamber mornings, so I didn't have to rush out, whatever. And so she'd just stay the night. He'd pick her up at school on Thursday, and they'd stay the night together at his apartment on Thursday night, and he'd take her on Friday morning. And that was just like a, what a proud mom moment that they're spending time together, and they don't have to. They don't even live together anymore. And it was just like, oh, I love that. So the fact that your kids are out living together in Fargo, are you just like the proudest parents?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'm very proud of them. They've done really well for themselves. They've both worked really hard.
You work all your life to teach them right from wrong and give them experiences so they can have a fulfilling life with it, you know, try different things. And then they leave the nest and they're doing well and they don't call you every day, which is hard, but that means you did a good job.
Yep.
They're doing well, they're successful, and they don't need you anymore.
Yeah. Yep. But they call you because they want to now.
Yeah. They call you because they want to, and they come home and want to hang out with us.
Yeah, that's really fun. Yeah. They still like us.
Yeah.
So we couldn't have been too mean, although when they were little, Morgan said to me one time, Mom, you're pretty cool, but you're just a little bit meaner than everybody else's mom.
Ooh, just a little bit meaner than everyone else's mom. Well, you're only getting the highlights from those people anyway. So that's fine. I'm fine.
Apparently I had rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit meaner. Well, tell that to your dad when he comes home from his 24-hour shift. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what is your, we've got an anxious puppy over there that he's going to start sounding. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Now he's just.
Now he's snoring again.
Yeah. So funny. So what is your, you guys have done 30 something years together and you've raised two kids that are, I mean, they're roommates together for crying out loud. So what's the Voke secret sauce? What kept everything moving for you guys? And then I want that. I want each of your opinions on that. And what's one thing that you love about each other? And then we'll let you go. And you can take some time to think, because podcast producer Abby can edit out all the dead
all
silence.
The dead silence.
Yep.
I think the one thing I love about Frank is his, it's really hard to pick one. He's so committed to me and our family.
Mm-hmm.
And when I am falling apart because I've got a million balls in the air, he's just calm.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't lose it like I do.
Yep.
It's really
nice. He's
got
you covered.
Mm-hmm.
I probably have to say dang near the same thing. I mean, Lisa has put so much effort into being a great mother to our kids. She was a Girl Scout leader, coached T-ball, things so that they, all kinds of things. She's very dedicated to the girls and me. So I just love her commitment to family.
Yeah.
And faith.
Yeah.
Yeah, faith and family.
Mm-hmm.
And keeping me on the right track.
Somebody has to.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
The universe, us guys were.
Yeah. The universe knew that you needed Lisa, and they just kept inserting her into your life the entire time.
Yep. Exactly.
Will you wake up, man? She's what you need.
Yeah. So that's the things we love about each other. What was the other questions?
What's the secret sauce?
Oh.
What's the Voke secret sauce that What was the thing that you kept turning to when things were tough? You've got this baby that is up crying all night long or whatever, this broken baby, whatever. What is it that kept you guys committed to each other?
I think faith kept me committed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, we stood up there.
The vows that we took.
The vows we took.
And took them seriously.
Took them seriously. Yeah. We meant it, every word. Mm-hmm. You know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Mm-hmm. Like, we've been through it all, and we just always know that we're supposed to be there for each other.
Yeah. Well, and you took the time to really, you know, I think it's not the flash in the pan romance of the, like, oh, he bought me flowers and we went on this great date and now we're getting married. And, you know, then you had, there was time to realize, is this a mistake? You know, no, maybe it was a mistake, you know, or whatever. And then separate, come back together. So yeah, taking the time to really think it through and then take your vows seriously. And then here you are. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. One of our daughters said to me recently, you know, it's kind of hard, Mom. My parameter for a happy marriage is you got to date somebody for like 6 or 7 years. She goes, yeah, you know, is that really what I have to do? And I said, no, you have to find what's right for you. Exactly. That's what worked for us.
Yes. But
do I think you should meet somebody, have flowers, have dinner, and get married? No, I don't. I think you really have to go through seasons with somebody, meaning go through something that was really hard.
Yeah.
Go through a heartbreaking loss of some sort with them. How do they support you? How do they handle that? Mm-hmm. You know, have a few arguments. How do they fight? Do they fight fair?
Yeah.
You know, all those things you have to go through. Go through that with somebody first.
Yeah.
And then you see really if that's the person you can spend the rest of your life with.
Yep. Yep. You can't be dedicated to the story. You have to be dedicated to not what you're telling yourself about this person, but what are you actually seeing in this person and what are you actually experiencing?
Right.
And that's very important. It's exactly, you know, because everybody thinks about the, like, you know, I will love you when you're on your deathbed and whatever. And that's kind of the easy way to love somebody, because it's just the, like, when you see something that's suffering, it's human nature to come along and help, help take care of that thing. But are you also loving this person when they're having their good days and they're growing and they're developing as a person and they're on to bigger and better things in their life? How are you showing up in the good times too, you know, and continuing to reinvest in each other? So you can clearly tell that you guys have a lot of love between you and a lot of commitment and dedication.
Thank you.
And I love that. It's one of those stories of the universe just kind of keeps pulling you back together. Yeah. So
totally.
Yeah. You don't get that anymore in this day and age, because you could just pop online and Google Frank the firefighter and you've got all of a sudden a bunch of Instagram posts of hunky men with their shirts off. So, you know.
Right. And I might never have found him.
Exactly.
I found that.
Yeah. Every one of those every one of us firefighters looks like that.
Yeah, well, yeah. Everyone. Yeah.
Oh, so little known fact, the very first Central Minnesota firefighters calendar.
Ooh.
Mr. September.
Mr. September? Yeah. Okay. Do you have pictures of Mr. September?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we got
to get one. It's a
great big one over the headboard.
Uh-huh. I want.
No, I'm kidding.
Abby needs a picture of that so we can put that on the podcast. We got to see Mr. September.
It was quite a long time ago when I was 47
years old. He was the oldest one in that calendar.
Wow, wow. Well,
but it was the first time they ever did it. They needed somebody. They took what they could get.
Well, you know, and you left a lasting impact, obviously. So
yeah, it was pretty
fun. It was a lot of fun. It was a fundraiser for breast cancer awareness and stuff.
Yep. So.
Yeah, and I knew the photographer, and she asked me if I could help her find firefighters.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I sure can.
Yep.
And I probably could talk my husband into doing that.
Yeah, I hated it. Every minute, hated it. Cameras, attention. Yep.
Baby oil.
Baby, it.
Yeah.
The Pam, actually.
The one gal said, I showed up for the photo shoot, and she said, oh, your wife is here. Most of the wives didn't come.
Uh-huh.
And she said, well, it's my job to, like, spray them with this Pam and kind of rub it in, but I'll let you do that.
Yeah.
Since you're here. And I said, oh, no, go ahead. No. I can do that anytime. Yeah. You have at it. She goes, you're the coolest wife ever.
Well, you know, you spray the Pam.
Yeah. Like, cool wife, a little bit mean mom.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yes. And that's a good balance. You strike a good balance.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, you guys. It was a delight to hear your story.
I loved
it.
Enjoyed
it. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it.
Yep. Cookies shouldn't be boring, and Molly B's clearly got that memo. These are bold, gourmet, artisan-crafted cookies, like hot Cheetos in a cookie bowl. My listeners get 10% off the entire site at mollybees.com with code LOVESTORY. Go ahead, treat yourself. Your taste buds will thank you.
You know how some vodkas taste like regret in a bottle? Yeah, this isn't that. Norman's Shuck Vodka from Garden State Distillery is basically a dirty martini already bottled up for you, infused with oysters, seaweed, and sea salt. My listeners get 15% off, so go grab a bottle, shake up your cocktail game, and thank me later. Use my code LOVESTORY at GardenStateDistillery.com.
Thank you for listening to the Love Story Podcast. You can subscribe to the show, and you can follow us at the Love Story Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Do you think you have a love story for the ages? Do you think you have a love story that's like a meet cute? Or maybe you just have a regular old love story, but you guys have been together for so long that you don't even remember how you met? We would love to have you on the Love Story Podcast to tell your story. Every love story is unique. Every love story is special. And whether you think you've got a cool story, a funny story, or just a heartwarming story, or just a story of the everyday regular old love, that's the kind of stuff we want to hear. Reach out at info@lovestoryweddingshow.com and we will schedule a time to get you featured on the Love Couch. If you're not local, we have the capabilities of doing it digitally as well. So don't forget to reach out info@lovestoryweddingshow.com or head to the show notes.